Well, good morning, church.
Yeah, if you have your Bibles, would you open to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews 3 will be our text for today. As we get ready to start, I need you to commit to do something for me, okay? I need you to commit to be here next week. And if you have work or if you can't be here next week, I need you to watch online. If you were watching online this week, I need you to tune back in next week. This message, what we're going to walk through over these next 2 weeks, it's a larger swath of scripture, okay? So we'll start today in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, and then we will end next week towards the mid portion of chapter 4. The reason I need you to come back is because today's message is going to mess you up. Reality of it, the author's intent was to shake the people, the hearers, the audience to their core, to wake them up, to get them to do what God has originally called them to do. And then in the same breath, hear me, it's not supposed to be segmented as this week we're going to preach that and the author didn't come back and say next week we'll preach that. It's just the way it's going to fall in our preaching schedule in the sense of we only have 30 minutes to unpack God's word this morning. And so you really need to come back because what we have this morning is the hard to hear and what we hear next week is the good to hear, okay? They're all the same thing, but it's going to be segmented by 7 days, all right? You can feel free to read on and be encouraged by God's word, but the sermon next week will be a very needed follow-up to the sermon this week, okay? So buckle in and we get ready to go. Today's a little bit heavy, all right? As we get ready to dive into God's word, here's what we're going to ask you, okay? Think about your relationship with God. Think about where you stand in relationship to God. Do you belong to Him? Are you saved by His grace? Is your faith real? Now, here's the question, million-dollar question. How do you know? How do you know that you have got a relationship with God? How do you know that you're saved, okay? So here's kind of the crux of the matter. What we're dealing with here in the first century is a group of believers who were once part of Judaism. So they were well-versed in God's word, and then they've converted to Christianity. They put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so now many of them are worried because they've seen brothers and sisters fall away from the faith or at least leave their fellowship of believers. The author's going to speak to this later on in the letter as apostasy. And so the question that is asked of us today is, how do we know what we believe? Like if you had to, could you give a defense for what you believe? Or would you just say, well, I've just always believed that. Or my mama told me that's true. Or grandma said it, and what grandma says is gospel, preacher. Could you go and find why you believe what you believe in God's word? And if you can't, look, we're not here to browbeat this morning. This is no blame, no shame moment for us. But what we have to understand is, do we believe an authentic, genuine, biblical gospel, or is it some kind of Americanized version that we've made up in our head and our heart to make us feel better about our life? I told you this can be heavy. So when we look through this, here's my fear, okay? That we've taken the church, we've taken the word of God, and we've even taken Jesus, and we've made him look like us. I mean, if we think about it, like first century Middle East, and we open our eyes this morning, not that style is the same. We're not talking about style. We're not talking about color or carpet. We're not even talking about genre of music. Do we believe that this is the way that Jesus intended his church to be? Do we believe that we treat this book the way that Jesus intended for his followers to treat this book? Is your life indicative of a life that's surrendered to him? Like real stuff, real first century, New Testament stuff. When we look at the Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the book of the Bible, Acts, if you look at that and you see the radical nature of their devotedness to Christ, do you see that in your own life? And I know, everybody across this room, myself included, look at me. Uh-oh, preacher done gone to meddling now. What are we going to do? Look, we're going to get into this, okay? To be clear, I'm not saying that what we believe is wrong, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that many of us have no clue why we believe what we believe, and somehow we're okay with that. We've cracked a Bible one or two or three times in our life, and somehow we're okay with how we're living. This section of Scripture was written that we would know and love Jesus Christ and understand our role in the context of each other and the world. This first section today, today's text, stands as a warning against believing wrongly and in doing so missing out on God's love and God's provision. So if you could hear today as just a warning siren going off, that when we read it, we would hear God's word calling us back to Him, calling us to trusting Him and seeing what He will do with our life. Let's read God's word together and see what it says. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Here's God's word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest we be in any of you evil, unbelieving hearts, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end, as it said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? With whom was the provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but those of whom were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Again, hear me. We're stopping there today. That's the end of our text today. And you think, that's heavy. But look, if you went on and you read chapter 4, verse 1, and you read the following, it's good. And it was all meant to go together, okay? So when you get done today and you were like thinking, wow, what did we just talk about today? Go back and read chapter 4. It's good stuff. And we're going to come back and unpack this next week. Now, again, remember what I told you. Whenever you read God's word, particularly Old Testament, New Testament, when you see the typeset change, that means there's a quote, and it's a quote coming from somewhere else. And so when we're here and we see this typeset off, we have to figure out, okay, what is the author quoting? Where is it coming from? Here we see that the quote comes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and it's literal translation, or a literal quote from verse 7 through 11 in Psalm 95. And this is going back to the rebellion that happened in the wilderness, okay? And we're going to get to that towards the end of our time today. But it's when Moses was leading the people. They had left Egypt. They're in the wilderness going towards the promised land. They get really thirsty. You remember this moment in the scripture where the first time that they get really thirsty and Moses is fed up with them, Moses prays to the Lord and the Lord says, Moses, go and strike the rock and I'll give water from it. And everybody drank water and they were happy by it. Second time, we see this in Numbers 20. We'll again talk about this in a minute. But in Numbers 20, Moses is evidently, man, he's just fit to be tied with all these people. And all of a sudden, they say, we're thirsty. Where's God? Why has He let us out here to die again? And so Moses hears from God, go and speak to the rock, and I will give you the water. And instead, what's Moses do? He strikes the rock. And then the Lord brings the hammer down on Moses and all the people because they did not believe His word. That was the rebellion that we're talking about here. So when we read this, we need to understand Psalm 95 in the context of Moses, their hero, the Hebrews' hero, and how even Moses failed to be completely obedient to Him. But as we look to this, I want us to see, okay? This is important, some important stuff. First line, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit, there's a verb that comes after Holy Spirit in the ESV, okay? What is the verb? Says, okay? Now, this is important. I know you didn't come to English class this morning, but let's just think through it. Verb tenses matter when we read God's word because it's telling us action, when it happened, where it's happening, and how long the action will take place. So this verb tense is encouraging to us. Number one, it's quoting Psalm 95. But who does the author give credit for writing it to? The Holy Spirit God's Spirit is the author of all of God's Word. That's good. But the verb tense, notice what it says. Did it say the Holy Spirit said, past tense? Says, which is present tense. Present tense, then present tense now. This is present active in the Greek, okay? And so it's something that happens now and it continues on. So when we look at this, guys, here's the important part. The Spirit of God continues to say this to the generations that continue to come. That includes us. So don't think that these people got in a bad way in the first century following Jesus and we're better than they are. We're not. We need this word as desperately as they needed it in that moment. Here's the word for them. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, this would communicate a lot differently to them than it does to us. Here's why. They lived in a time when tomorrow wasn't guaranteed and they knew it. They literally could die from anything. An infection could be dead tomorrow. Fever could be dead tomorrow. Giant bear walking out of the woods could be, who knows? We live in a day where we believe tomorrow is guaranteed. So we put off today what we think we can do tomorrow. Here, God's word is saying, look, today you need to take an assessment of your life. Today you need to examine where your heart is with God. Why? Because today you might just meet your maker. Ladies and gentlemen, can I encourage you this? This isn't to sound morbid, but maybe, just maybe, when you walk out of those doors today, you might go meet your maker. That goes for me too, and we need to take an assessment of our heart to make sure that we are ready to meet him, to make sure that we are glad to meet him, so we would hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The next line says, if you hear his voice, when God speaks to us, that's grace to us. God is gracious to speak to us. And the command is this, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As on the day of testing in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and saw my work for 40 years. Harden our heart is not trusting God's will and God's plan for our life. It's not trusting that he knows best for us. So we talked about Exodus 17, the first time that Moses was to strike the rock. That was the command of God. He did it. God gave the water. Numbers 20, Moses was to speak to the rock. He didn't speak to the rock because he was mad at the people and he hit the rock. Rock gave water. God was gracious even in that moment, but said, hear this word in Numbers 20, verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the leaders of Israel, because you did not believe in me. The leaders of Israel didn't believe in God for that moment. So now, here it is. What is the root of our sin? We don't believe in God. You say, no. I believe in God. Right. You may believe in a version of God. You may believe in an idea of God. But you have not trusted yourself to God in that moment. Because what sin says, I'm the boss now. It's my plan. It's my way. I'm going to do it how I want. I got my timing. I got my idea. That's what sin is. Sure, we understand Adam and Eve. In that moment, it was a dietary law that they broke. But in that moment, they said, I wanted to be like him. I want to be God too. That's the heart of our sin. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you, Moses and Aaron, did not believe in me. What did they not believe about him? It continues, Numbers 20, verse 12. To uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I had given to them. What is the punishment for sin? Is we don't get to enter into the rest that God has promised to us. Now you can extrapolate that, and probably many of you are. We extrapolate that into the sense of we can't enter into the rest of heaven, right? So we're going to get there. That's true. But guys, do you understand right now, as you're breathing, where we live today, if you are in sin, you don't have rest today. That's why so many of us, man, we live in a hellacious life. Because we're in sin and we wonder why life's so hard and we wonder why we're never satisfied and we wonder why we never find contentment in our jobs and in our families and our kids and our anything. Because, guys, we are trying to do it on our own strength and our own might. Moses, the hero, for a moment, he didn't believe God's plan and God's provision. We all, if Moses needed to, we all need to. We all need to take assessment of our life today. We are going to speed this up. Get ready. Here we go. Verse 10 says, therefore I was provoked with that generation. It says they always go astray in their heart and they don't know my ways. They always go astray in their heart. Anybody in here feel that verse personally to them? You want to love God, but somehow your heart always goes astray. Anybody? Just me. Three of us. Okay. So right here. Got me. I know it's everybody in this room. Two hands. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. Everybody in this room, how did they know me? How did they know us, guys? Because this has been the sinful condition from the beginning where we know what we need to do, but we always do something else. Why? Why do we continue to do that? Why can't we just do what God says? Why we can't just obey? Look what the very next line says. They always go astray in their heart. Why? Because they don't know my ways. They don't know how good I am. So again, extrapolate it out. They think that their ways are better than mine. Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. It's not just Sunday school fodder, guys. This is what it is to live obedient, joyful lives in God. Is if we know Him, we trust Him. The more we know God, the more we trust Him. The more we trust Him, the more we follow His plan for our life. Verse 11, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Wrath, don't think of wrath like, oh no, you've messed up, now I'm mad at you and I'm going to get you. But wrath in the justified sense, where God is a just God, and if there is sin that is a deviation from the standard that He has set, then wrath must come towards it. He said, you will not enter into my rest. God's anger, God's wrath, His righteousness must confront disobedience. So this first section, guys, is what not to do. This is the story or the picture. Don't do that, all right? Then we're going to move into the section of what we need to do and how do we take care of our lives and our souls. Look at verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Take care means to pay extra special attention to. Why? Lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Now, this should tell you something. If you need to take care because you might have an unbelieving heart on the inside, tells us this, that unbelieving heart isn't always what we imagine it to be. Someone who is just grossly misinterpreting God, someone who's just living their life how they want to, and it's just obvious that they're lost. The fact that this was written to a group of believers tells us that there could be a wicked heart hidden inside of somebody who comes to church every Sunday. Someone who's in Bible study every week, and they got gold stars in Sunday school from the time that they were born. It says, pay careful attention so that we don't have that unbelieving heart hiding in us. What happens if we don't pay careful attention to our life? What happens if we have an unbelieving heart? Look what it says. It will lead us to fall away from the living God. How do we make sure that we're doing the right thing? How do we make sure that we're paying careful attention? Verse 13, this is the core of where we're going today, guys. Don't miss this. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened to deceitfulness of sin. Okay? So exhort, to strongly encourage or to strongly urge someone to do something. Okay? So we're going to exhort them how often? Every day. Okay, now, how long are we supposed to do that? I know it's every day, but is there a time stamp on when this is supposed to end? Are we like on a two-week cycle here? Are we doing like a month? What's it look like? It says as long as it's called today. This is important, okay, when we read this in the text. As long as it's called today means as long as Jesus hadn't come back yet. How long are you supposed to be in other people's lives encouraging them? Until Jesus comes back. You got breath in your body and Jesus hadn't come back yet, you still got work to do, Christian. Ain't no retirement from the Christian church. As we walk in this every day. Why? Why do we do this? Okay? Why? This is important. So we won't be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. So this has some implications. Number one, sin is deceitful. The enemy's really good, guys. It's not just the biggies that can wreck our lives. It could be complacency. It could be the fact that you really enjoyed church today. The music was so good. The sermon was all right. I mean, it's As you journey through this, you can leave here saying, man, I am such a good Christian because I've come to church today and I had this feeling of something when I left there today. And you never pick up this word again. You never encourage brothers and sisters around you. Guys, the enemy is good at what he does. Why should we strongly encourage, exhort? Why should we do it every day? Why do we do it every day until Jesus comes back? Because the deceitfulness of sin is very real, and it can harden our hearts. Understand these implications, okay? Reading it backwards. If we don't exhort one another every day until Jesus comes back, we will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So, listen to me carefully. With our time running out, don't look at your clock. Saints ain't playing today. All right? If you don't have brothers and sisters speaking into your life, you are in trouble. Do you hear me? If you don't have Christian brothers and sisters speaking into your life, if you've not given them that honor and that privilege to speak into your life, you are in trouble. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start to create this version of Christianity that nobody's ever going to challenge. Even when you read God's word, you're going to read it through the lens of what you want it to say. And if nobody has the right to speak into your life and challenge you, you are in trouble. So am I. We need each other. Guys, if your version of Christianity does not have discipleship, it is a wrong version. That's why the only thing that Jesus called us to do was to make disciples. He didn't call us to go save people. That's his job. He didn't call us to go on mission trips to get t-shirts and stamps on our passport. That's not what he called us to do. He has called us to go to the ends of the earth, starting right here, making disciples. What does making disciples look like? Go back to verse 13. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's disciple making 101. You don't have to walk through a checklist to figure out if you've done it right. Are we encouraging? Are we stirring one another up today, every day, so we are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin? Look at verse 14. For we've come to share in Christ. It's a group. We've been called together as a family. That's why we need each other. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So if we stay connected in Christ, if our heart is surrendered to Him, as it said, anytime the scriptures say something twice, we need to pay attention. Verse 15. As it said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. Guys, when we look back at the Exodus, it's hard for me to understand when I read it. Why did the people ever think that God wasn't for them? 40 years they woke up and they had food. 40 years they had water whenever they were thirsty. At nighttime, they were led by a pillar of fire. 40 years, a fire tornado led them for 40 years. By day, a cloud that covered them so the sun wouldn't scorch them. God's provision is literally in front of their eyes every day. And instead of saying, God, we worship you because you're good, what they said is, God, this food is worthless and we hate the drink you've given to us. And I read that and I'm like, you idiots. And I look at my life. I think, you idiot. How often do I open my eyes and I see God's faithfulness and God's goodness and God's kindness, and somehow I presume that provision, it just happened. Or even worse, that provision, that blessing, I did it. Then I start to say, God, where are you? You're so good, you're so kind, you're so strong, you're so great. Why aren't you in my life? Idiot. Verse 16, for those who were there, those who heard and yet rebelled, was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? Was it not the ones who saw the plagues that happened and God rescued them in a miraculous way? To whom was the ones that provoked him for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Did they not see their brothers? Numbers 21, one of the most incredible stories in all of Scripture. They were mad about the food. They were mad about the drink. God sent serpents to bite the people of Israel. But are they not seeing these things? Their bodies fall and they die in the wilderness. And to whom did they swear that they would not enter to this rest, but those who were disobedient? They knew. They knew. This isn't like this is new to them. They didn't walk up and God strike them dead. They didn't walk up and they are now disfellowshipped out of the family of God. It's not like they didn't know. They knew. They knew that if they weren't obedient, God's provision wouldn't be on them. They knew that. But the deceitfulness of sin hardened their heart not to care anymore. What about you? You know that the Christian life is dependent upon your life being surrendered to Christ. He's the boss. He calls the shots forever and always. As long as it's called the day, He is your Lord. As the old preacher once said, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. You know that. I know that. Why do we still fight every day trying to take that ownership back? Why do we still look up and still say, man, that's mine, God. I know I gave it to you. I need that back. God, I know I've asked you to give me wisdom on this thing, but you're taking a little too long giving me an answer, so I'm going to go ahead and make a decision. Why do we do those things? Probably because we are the captain of our own ship. Probably because we haven't had brothers and sisters speaking into our lives, stirring us up, bringing our affections, pointing us back to Christ. Church family, we need one another. Verse 19. So we see that they were unable to enter what? The rest. We'll talk about that in chapter 4. Because of what? Unbelief. Not unbelief in the fact that God's not real. They believed God was real. Unbelief in the fact that their lives weren't surrendered to Him. You want to be your own boss? You want to call your own shots? Then you're going to have to deal with the consequences of the life you've created. I would suggest and I would beg you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and to none other. You say you believe in God. Is your life pointing and proving that fact? Biblical Christianity. Can I read this for you? I know we're out of time. Don't pack up. Don't miss this. This is huge. Biblical Christianity summed up Luke 9:23. And He said to all, notice, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? Follow Me. Take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow Me. That's the call of Christ. Our life as a Christian comes down to, are we trusting Jesus to be the Lord of our life? Is He our boss? Is He in charge? If not, if you're still in charge, then you have not believed biblical Christianity. You've put your hope in some Americanized version where you have become the Lord of your own life. It's the craziest thing. Because if we don't have people to stir us up, if we don't have brothers and sisters who are in the Word as well and walking with the Lord as well, then potentially, this is even the worst part, this worst case scenario. You surround yourself with people who aren't really interested in biblical Christianity. Now you do have people speaking into your life, but they're just telling you, no, it's okay. Just do what you want to do. God put that desire in your heart. You might as well go and do it. No! Your heart is wicked. Don't trust that thing. Trust God. Trust His Word. Guys, if you're believing in a Christianity that never convicts you of anything in your life and it only makes you feel good about what you're doing and every decision you've made, run from that belief. Because that is a belief that will send you straight to hell. That's not the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel is to understand that we are broken and we need Christ to fix us. And not to fix us so we can go back out on our own, but to fix us, to heal us, to breathe life back into our dead bodies, that we may be raised to walk in the newness of life, to follow Him to the ends of the earth. Wherever He says go, that's where we go. Whatever He says do, that's where we do. The people He calls us to love, that's who we love. Not according to our agenda, not according to our political liking, but according to His great name alone. That's what he's called us to do. Guys, it's time for us to wake up and make sure the Christianity we believe is biblical Christianity. A Christianity of complete surrender of our life, our rights, our breath to whatever God wants us to do and be. And we find that will in the pages of this book. Making sure that we come alongside one another, we urge one another, stirring one another up, as long as it's called today, that the deceitfulness of sin would not harden our hearts to the glory of his name and to the good of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters across this room. Lord, I am thankful that this word has turned my life upside down this week. And it's caused me to think a lot more than I normally do. And I pray that that would be the same across this room. That we would all take an assessment of our heart. The Christianity that we say we believe and love, is it the one spelled out in your word? Of surrender and dependence. Of trust and obedience. Where we're not the boss ever, ever, and you are forevermore. Where our wants and our desires and our will have died, and your wants, your desire, and your will thrive. That's what we want. If there's anything else, any other kind of version of Christianity, any other belief in our mind, would you destroy it, God? If it's not of you, we don't want it. Because all we want is you. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name that we pray. And we now stand and we respond. Church family, would you stand and listen?